One of the reasons that Salva Kiir is able to come to this office is because of President Bush's engagement on South Sudan. There were some important lessons that were learned from that, and we can certainly encourage the next administration to apply some of those same lessons to Darfur.
This is not Mr. Kiir's first visit to the White House. Do you think he will be visiting the White House in his capacity more as the leader of Southern Sudan or as the representative of Sudanese President Omar Hassan al-Bashir?
I suspect that he will be going primarily as the president of the government of South Sudan. Everybody knows that the future for Bashir, in light of the ICC action, remains unclear. So President Kiir has always led with his own concerns about South Sudan, which, as he understands now, has implications not only for the Southerners, but really for the entire country, particularly in light of the ICC action and the potential of coming elections and the referendum, which is scheduled to go forth in 2011.
Does his position as vice president of the country mean that if the ICC indictment goes through, Salva Kiir stands a great chance to influence the future direction of policy for the overall country and not just his region?
Absolutely. There is some concern that if, in fact, the ICC does move forward and indict President Bashir, that that will be repercussions for the people in Darfur, but will also have implications for the people in South Sudan. And that's why you're seeing him and the party that he belongs to making greater inroads. There was a recent visit into Darfur. I was able to visit with him just this past August. We understand that this has tremendous implications for President Kiir's role in the entire country.
Opportunities for strengthening the comprehensive peace agreement for Southern Sudan will be the ostensible topic of discussion with President Bush. What needs to be addressed to cement this agreement and prevent it from breaking down?
We want to make sure that the Sudanese government really does deliver on some of the key provisions for the comprehensive peace agreement. The elections are supposed to happen according to the peace agreement in July. At this point, people surmise if they do happen, it might be late 2009, probably more into 2010. That offers the possibility of democratic transformation for Sudan. Again, we don't really know whether they will happen, but if they are going to happen, it really is going to require the support of the United States. The other key aspects of that, of course, are the sharing of the oil revenues. We know that some revenues are being shared. We certainly don't know how much of it is actually getting to the people of South Sudan, especially the link to the Darfur crisis is the action of the International Criminal Court. We again, know that that has made the government of Sudan uncomfortable. And so we're certainly looking for this government to support the ICC to put pressure on the government of Sudan to ensure that they comply with whatever recommendations the ICC comes up with and to make sure that they know that if they do, in fact, escalate the violence in Darfur, that once again, our government will hold them accountable for that. One of the ongoing concerns has been that this current administration has been trying to play it both ways. We've been, on one hand, saying, yes, you're culpable in terms of genocide, but on the other hand, trying to get their cooperation in terms of this war on terror. The next administration, if not this one, should make it very clear that we're no longer going to be doing it both ways. We have evidence that suggests that there is, in fact, culpability on the part of this government, that we're going to make that evidence available.
Now, there were some positive signs from the UN last week that the international troop mandate for Darfur is more than halfway filled. How soon do you expect the full Darfur force to be in place, and how effective will it be towards stopping the violence?
There are a few things that have to happen, and even though we continue to advocate for the full contingent of forces to be in place with all of the equipment that they need so they can adequately protect the people, we know that that's not going to be enough. There also needs to be the political solution. So the United Nations, we would like to use more of their muscle to make sure that all of the parties come to the negotiation table, not only the government of Sudan, but the rebels as well.
As we've seen this weekend, President Bush is going to be deeply preoccupied in the coming week by the Gaza crisis. How best can the Bush administration ensure that discussions with both Vice President Salva Kiir and on Tuesday with UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, allegedly over the Darfur concerns, address the Darfur concerns in the light of the pressing concerns over the Middle East?
Well, he still needs to make it very clear that Darfur is a critical issue and that I imagine that they're going to tout the things that they have done that have been helpful and we're certainly grateful for that. But we also know that it hasn't been enough, that essentially the crisis has persisted and in many ways has gotten worse. And there are certainly some things that President Bush could recommend that the next president pursue, and that would be a full-time special envoy. That was not something that we have in place at this point in a robust way. And he could certainly recommend that the next administration really deal with Darfur, as President-elect Obama has said, with unstinting resolve. So he needs to make that clear, that even though it wasn't settled in the 8 years that he was in office, that this next president should move forward.
You've been involved in humanitarian work in Cote d'Ivoire, in Botswana, in South Africa, as well as Sudan. How do you think the humanitarian and political crises in Darfur and southern Sudan compare in scale as a foreign policy challenge for the United States to meet in stopping the violence and possible genocide on the continent?
I think that it is a major issue. It has primary implications not only obviously for Darfur and Sudan, but for the entire continent of Africa, and that if this government can make Darfur a model for how they intend to deal with genocide across the board, and if they handle this crisis well, and we're certainly optimistic that they will deal with Darfur from day one. If they do that, then it will speak volumes to the rest of the continent of Africa, and in fact to any potential genocidaire who is considering exacting genocide in the same way that we've seen in a number of countries, and in fact in some other countries even now. So it's important for them to deal with Darfur from day one, not simply for Darfur, not simply for Sudan, but because of its implications for Africa and anywhere the genocide might happen.
In light of the great emphasis that the Bush administration has placed on resolving the Sudanese crisis, what do you think will be his legacy, and what challenges lie ahead for an Obama administration in keeping up the pressure on President Bashir in a way that does not impel him to take more aggressive actions against the civilians of Darfur?
Well, certainly in terms of President Bush's legacy, the success that he had in South Sudan. He was the first international leader to pay attention to what was going on in South Sudan. And it's because he appointed the special envoy at that point, John Danforth, that they were able to negotiate that peace agreement. He certainly deserves his props for that. And I'll tell you, all over South Sudan, that is what's made Bush a veritable hero. It is certainly significant that this government was the first to label what was happening in Darfur a genocide. That was a bold move. It was an important move. It was a controversial move. He did it. And there are many of us who believe that that was really an accurate thing to do. Obviously, then the concern was that simply calling it a genocide was not enough. And as we've seen, Darfur has, even from that day, continued to disintegrate. Nevertheless, because of this action, because of he really led this government in providing humanitarian support, while we didn't stop all of the killing, we can be confident that there are more people who are alive today because of those actions.
What do you expect of the Obama administration in terms of keeping up the pressure, and how will their approach differ?
First of all, I think they really are going to press for more international cooperation, recognizing that this can't be done with the United States alone. So they're going to be more diplomatic in terms of their dialogue with some of the other key players here, certainly with China, certainly with the African Union, and with the Arab League. Those are other important groups that have something to say and to do about this, as well as the European Union. So people are going to be talking with this administration, the upcoming administration, in a way that they were not amenable to be talking to them before. They're going to do much more in terms of, therefore, getting the various factions to the peace negotiation table. They're going to make it very clear to President Bashir that they're not going to be dancing around it. They're not going to try to wine and dine him on one hand and then say something else on the other hand, that they are going to be using all of their political acumen to ensure that justice comes to the people of Sudan. They're going to be pressing the United Nations in terms of those peacekeeping forces and then supporting the ICC action. So the foreign policy team that Obama has already nominated is one that's been very strong, very favorable in terms of adjudicating the crisis in Sudan, and gives us tremendous hope, and really looking forward to working in partnership with them to see that the people of Darfur know peace, and in fact, the people in all of Sudan.